Joining me in studio, candidate for HD 83, Republican candidate for HD 83, Dustin Burrows, in studio with me. Dustin, welcome to the show.
Chad, thanks for having me. I'm a fan of the show. I think you have some of the best introductory music into
Thank
your
you
segments.
Very much.
I'd like to have one request. Will you get with Texas Tech and give them some of your music ideas for while the games are going on?
I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it gets me pumped up. I think it'd get the crowd pumped up, and it's good choices.
I think the opening show music, we could fire that one off at Jones Stadium.
Absolutely.
That would get the crowd going. Hey, thanks for coming in. You know, I wanted to have you in, obviously, because you did. You were selected as the HD 83 candidate, but I think there are still a lot of people out there who don't know who you are. So go ahead and tell us.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you kind of why I got into this, and then I'll give you a little bit about my background. I'm passionate about conservative policy. I've been around the party for a long time. I understand conservatism, and I'm very passionate about it. I'm also passionate about making sure that Lubbock and the surrounding counties in HD 83 has a strong voice down there. And then, you know, for the most part, I believe in myself. I believe I do have the qualities and characteristics and traits that would give us an effective representative down in Austin. So that'd be the reasons I got in to this. I was born in Lubbock. I'm from Lubbock. I went to Monterey High School. I was an ag boy. Showed pigs, judged livestock and dairy cows. I went off to school in Memphis, Tennessee to a place called Rhodes College. Studied economics and business administration while I was there. Was very excited about economics. I got taught by some really great people that basically impressed upon me that anything that the government does is usually twice as costly and half as effective as the private sector. That stuck with me. I came back to Tech, got 2 degrees from here, a JD and an MBA. I practiced law with my father at a small law firm, 15 people for the last 10 years. We represent primarily individuals and small businesses. I know from representing them that they're overtaxed, overregulated, that it's difficult to be regulatory compliant and law compliant in today's age, and I think there's something fundamentally wrong with that. Laws need to be simple, few, and easy to explain. And so I'm very passionate about going to the legislature and taking my background in law, representing small business and individuals, trying to make a less burdensome complexity of laws for us, and then my passion for economics, where I believe that, you know, government should do core functions well, but beyond that, they shouldn't do much more.
Yeah. Visiting with Dustin Burrows, who was selected as the HD 83 representative on the Republican ballot. And what was that process like for you?
Well, you know, we probably did not have certainty on where the process was going to be, I guess, until Charles Perry resigned his place on the ballot.
Yeah.
Which, if memory serves me correctly, was early August. However, there was some indication that would happen for beyond that. So there was 6 of us who were basically asking for consideration, and there were 7 people, individuals, that made the decision on how that would be. In fact, I guess there was 23 others who selected the person from Lubbock. So it was a very closed race in the sense that there was only 30 decision makers. Mm-hmm. And I think we all agreed that whoever became the nominee of the Republican Party carried a big burden to get out on the radio shows like these and get a chance to meet the voters and give them confidence that it was a good decision and really humbly ask for their consideration and their vote.
Yeah, because the SD28 race is, I think, overshadowed just about everything else that has gone on politically in this town and throughout what would be HD 83 and also SD 28. But this is a very important election, to, you know, replacing Charles Perry, who was pretty well liked represented, I think, this area pretty well in the House. You've got big shoes to fill, I think.
And having gone around the district, I certainly get that sense. Everybody was very happy with Charles as the representative. I think that was reflected in the primary that was held, 75-25. Yeah. People thought that he was right on the ideas, right on the issues, and I look forward to that challenge.
Do you think that, you know, there's so much division, it seems, within the Republican Party between who's a conservative versus Tea Party versus just regular Republican? I think Carl Tepper's even spoken about this, about how, hey, we need to bring everyone, you know, kind of back together. How would you, I guess, describe your politics? You said you were conservative, but how would you kind of describe that political divide that's out there and where you come from on the issues?
Well, it's always been there. I mean, you look back to Goldwater days, and they talked about Goldwater Republicans as the part of the party that was conservative. We had Nixonian Republicans that were not. You know, we talked about rhinos in the 90s and establishment now, and there's always been part of the party that says, you know, look, we have deeply held conservative ideas, and we don't want to compromise on them, and those that, you know, say maybe those conservative ideas aren't there. I think we've got to get into this post-label idea. I was in the party before the Tea Party was there. I think the Tea Party had some great ideas, great energy. But, you know, we're also living in a time where we need to be talking about ideas instead of labels. I think it's really too easy to pigeonhole somebody into a Tea Party camp or a libertarian camp or establishment camp. And truly, you know, I'd rather not fit in anyone in neatly, but rather talk about the ideas and the agenda that I have. And it's deeply conservative, I think, by all measures. But I think it's the right policy where Texas needs to head in the right policy for HD 83.
You were talking about earlier that you've represented a lot of these businesses that have seen a lot of regulations. Obviously, you know, with lawsuits out there, you've heard the governor talk about tort reform. You've heard about lawsuit reform. What do you think about the whole loser pay aspect?
Well, it's interesting. I think that we actually passed some legislation 2 years ago that was close and akin to loser pays. And what it basically says that if you are the if you're defending a case and you believe it's worth a certain amount of money, you can go ahead and put that on the table and say, I'm going to pay you X dollars. And if the plaintiff does not take it, they then have to pay your attorney's fees. I think that's a very fair system. We adopted that from the federal rules. That was part of tort reform. And you know, I've employed it two or three times, in fact, successfully for defending lawsuits. I think it was a very good good function.
Do you think it should be expanded any? Is there any way to expand it?
There's probably ways. I'd have to look at any bit of legislation. I think what we have is pretty adequate as is.
Let's go ahead. We'll take the break when we come back. We have a lot of issues to talk about with Dustin Burroughs. Water, obviously a big issue out here in West Texas, but also a lot of other issues, including transportation, that will be brought up in the next legislative session. Budget, education, a lot to get into when we come back. All right, back on the Chad Hasty Show. News Talk 790 KFYO. Dustin Burroughs in studio with me. Republican candidate, HD 83. And Dustin, I know that you've gone around, you've spoken with groups, with voters. What are some of the top concerns? I am assuming there's some of the same top concerns that we hear about in the SD 28 race and in other races across the state: water, immigration, transportation. Are those the three big ones?
Yeah, and I think the last day or two we've heard a little bit about HB2 and, of course, education and education reform. So I think that if you took those top five, those would be the five questions I'm asked most frequently about.
Well, let's talk about water, number one.
Okay.
And we hear a lot about a lot of questions about what the future is going to look like as far as West Texas water goes, private property rights with that. Describe for us, when you go into the next legislative session, if elected, what are your plans when it comes to water and private property rights out here?
Yeah, let's talk about core values. I think fundamentally we have to accept the fact it is a private property right. The farmers that I know, and by the way, a lot of my client base is in the agricultural sector. I've done represent 300 or 400 different producers, from guar to peanuts to cotton. And so I understand they paid a premium for the right to tap the water underneath their land. And they have the right to use it, misuse it, you know, whatever they want to do with it. It is a fundamental concept and notion of what private property is. I believe the Supreme Court has confirmed that. And so we have to respect that first and foremost. As far as going beyond that, you know, last time we have funded some research. I think desalinization is interesting. And let me go back for just a point. I believe those private property rights apply not only to the Ogallala, but also to the Dockham, because there is some people that say, well, maybe we can just take the Dockham water and use it for saltwater injection wells and other things like that. And I mean, it's either private property or it's not right. It's either a private property right or it's not. I mean, it is a question. I think it's a legal question. And if you believe it's private property, you have to defend it. So it'd be interesting to see what we come up with. I like the idea of desalinization. I like the idea of seeing what some of this research and studying that we have come back at. I think anything we can do to promote conservation efforts and technology is a great idea for the farmers, and so I'm very cognizant of that.
Transportation going to be a large issue. obviously, in the next legislative session. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we need to make sure that our roads are taken care of. The energy boom has been fantastic. It's been phenomenal, but the big weight of the trucks coming up and down the roads has really left them in a place that the counties can't afford to take care of them, and the state has had a hard time getting funding for it. I understand there's going to be the plan that Greg Abbott has said he would back, where there's direct revenue funding from the gasoline tax, and then maybe if there's any additional need from sales tax, from automobiles, to make sure that we have the $4 or $5 billion that's needed to take care of our roads. And when I say roads, I don't mean, you know, rails and monorails and things like that. I mean actually take care of the infrastructure and roads, because they're very important and vital to have transportation, of course, in this state. I believe it's like a natural resource and we have to protect it.
There are some who talk about wanting to raise the gas tax in order to help fund some of these issues like transportation. What do you think about that idea?
So far, I haven't seen a compelling reason to do so. Right now, I think we're only taking 20% of the gasoline tax and actually putting it to doing roads. Let's go ahead and take all of it and see if that's enough before we start talking about raising taxes. One thing you'll find with me is I think what the voters want is they want us to take care of transportation. They want us to take care of education. They want to make sure it's quality, but they want to do it with the current revenue stream and not raise taxes. Mm-hmm. Spending is nice and it's fun, but you know, I understand where that money comes from. It comes from people like me and people like you and the clients that I represent, and we can't just raise taxes and spend more, because spending is not a way to prosperity.
So where do you get the money in order to fund transportation? You're going to hear from the Democrats, well, we've got to have more taxes. We've got to take more money. You have Wendy Davis, who is running on the idea of funding education. Somehow, we don't really know, but she wants to spend more money. So how do you battle against that argument that we have to spend more, that we have to take more?
I think we look for improved efficiencies first and foremost, and look at the industry experts and try to find out where we can get more bang for our buck with economies of scale. I don't believe we have fully reached our potential with that. I think technology and other advancements allow us to do that. I think the Health and Human Services budget has been skyrocketing, and perhaps if we can, it's being sunsetted, a lot of it this year, so perhaps we can look at taking money from that. We can shift some of the revenues in the budget over to those areas. And then, of course, direct revenue funding. I'm not so sure we need new taxes. I truly believe that some of what you're seeing in some of these lawsuits is only a ploy to try to get us to have a state income tax. And let me tell you, I am 100% completely unequivocally against that and will not stand for any sort of state income tax that any Democrat wants.
Were you happy with the last budget that was passed? You know, there were many lawmakers who, you know, they came on this show who said, yeah, we spent a little bit too much money, it seems.
I'd like to go back through and take a look at it and study it more in depth. I think that, you know, overall that Texas, we've seen decent budgets over the last two cycles, but I think there's always room for improvement.
Yeah. Visiting with Dustin Burrows right now. He's a Republican candidate running HD 83. Education. How do we fix education in this state?
Okay, I think we need to take a look at the quality. I think we have to take a look at the basic premise of whose responsibility it is to educate children. I believe it's the parents. And we need parental choice, especially in the larger urban areas. Okay. I believe we need more charter schools. I think that there's 100,000 people that are on a waiting list to have charter schools, so we ought to double the number of them in this state. I think that's the low-hanging fruit. I think the major metropolitan areas want to do some sort of tuition-based tax credit. I think we should allow them to do that. I think, however, in the rural areas where there's not the ability to compete, we need to continue fixed financing, and I'll be a strong supporter of that for the rules. So I think we have to find that balance, but especially, you know, in places like Houston, it's a broken ISD. And you might ask, well, why do we care about what's going on in Houston? Well, because when they graduate, they're Texans. They're going to be voters. They're going to be looking for jobs, and we need to make sure that there is opportunities for them and they're getting the best education there is. So if they want to try tuition-based tax credits, I'm all in favor of that. And then I think we need to make sure that with public education that a significant percentage of it's getting to the teachers so that they can get paid adequately, and it's getting to the classrooms. And we need to have goals and try to achieve that.
One of the issues when it comes to education, vouchers are always brought up, and there's been a discussion about how out here it's pretty easy to move school district if you want to. Obviously, you brought up Houston, you brought up, you know, Dallas, some of those other larger ISDs, not so easy to move around. You've got to have a parent basically either living in that school district, or you've got to have a parent who works in that school district. How do we solve this issue?
Well, I think Dan Patrick in the Senate has said he's going to take the lead on this. And if I had to tell you what I think his agenda is going to be, I think it's going to be focused just on that because he sees the problems in Dallas and Houston. And I think that they should have the option, especially with local control, to try just that. I think it's, you know, I think it's a good idea. And I'd be very supportive of letting them try those types of things. You know, Lubbock LISD has done some very good things about being able to move around school district to school district, allow part-time enrollment and things like that. And there's no reason in the world why Houston can't look at the Lubbock model and see that we've had some successes with it.
How do you fix the funding problem? This is obviously part of a lawsuit that's out there. It's going to continue in the courts. How do we fix the funding issue?
Well, you assume that there is a funding problem. I'm not 100% sure that basically just throwing money at the problem is the solution.
Right.
I think we need to continue to look at efficiencies. One thing that I pledge to everybody listening to this is I will meet with all of the stakeholders in our area. I think it's very important for a representative to meet with all of the heads of the LISD, all of the superintendents, the school board, and whoever else has a opinion about this and see what they believe is the right thing to do for this area. I'm setting up some meetings this week and next week to try to figure out where they are on this and try to figure out if there really is a funding problem or not. I'm not 100% convinced there really is one.
When we take a look at campus carry, Second Amendment issue is going to be big coming up in the next legislative session. We've already heard that from Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick. Were you on campus carry, open carry?
Yeah, so let me tell you this much. I filled out a questionnaire for the NRA. I believe I'm going to be ranked AQ, which means that I don't have a voting record, but I have an A based on my candidate survey. I believe in campus carry. I don't see any problems with that. I think that was a good piece of legislation. We ought to carry the ball and advance it on. Open carry, another good idea. People who accidentally, open their coat jacket and there's a gun there shouldn't be prosecuted for just that.
Yeah. Immigration, obviously going to be a huge issue coming up in the next legislative session, or at least it should be. It was kind of forgotten about in the past. What do we do to fix the immigration problem that we have, not only in this country, but right here in Texas?
Okay, first off, it has to be, one of the central focus points. We've gone too long without basically doing anything about it. Yeah. I think this is going to be a states' rights and federalism showdown. I think Texas is going to have to be bold and take bold action to try to do some things and then send and maybe even sue the federal government to pay the bill for what we have to do. But we have to secure our border. It is a security issue. The people coming across are not just the workers that want to find temporary jobs. There are some dangerous, dangerous people, and we have to secure it. We also have to shut down these sanctuary and amnesty cities. Austin wants its own immigration policy. I heard the other day that basically the city council was considering handing out ID cards to people here illegally, mm-hmm. So they can get government services. Chad, that's insane for Austin to have those type of things. And we need to use the power of the purse of the Texas legislature and anything that we have power over to stop Austin from trying to do things like that.
When it comes to the Texas Dream Act, should we get rid of that?
I don't support it.
So get rid of that as well. There's a lot obviously that's going to go into the next legislative session. Dustin Burroughs, we're going to have you back obviously in studio quite a bit over the next few months and then beyond that. Thanks for coming in.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll take the break. When we come back, your thoughts, and we have much more to get into, including more craziness from the Austin City Council. We'll be right back.